Well, I love that. Don't y'all love that? Yeah, I love it. And, you know, if I like the joy Christmas, little kids bring to the Christmas season. Pastor Chris and I, a few weeks ago, got to minister over at First Baptist Mary Esther, and they had their children's choir, and they're just so happy, you know, like so joyful. And if you're like me, there's times where I'm like, man, I miss that childhood joy. You ever miss that childhood joy? Because life gets so much harder, and that joy just kind of just gets sucked out of you from time to time. And that's what this Christmas season is all about, because Jesus, we've been in our Advent series, and today is all about the Advent of joy. And Jesus comes to bring us. He came to bring us true joy and lasting joy, but there's a misunderstanding taking place because, again, that childhood joy just kind of gets sucked out of you, especially when life gets hard. And then I'm like, man, where's the joy? Like, where's the joy at? This isn't what it's supposed to be like. This is nuts, especially this time of year, this Christmas season. Man, life gets so hard and I get weighed down and there is no joy. But that's because often we have a misunderstanding of the joy that Jesus brings. We can call it Christian joy or the joy of salvation. We have a misunderstanding of that joy. See, a good definition for Christian joy is an inward settled state of mind that is produced by faith in God. That has nothing to do with circumstances, you know, things going good in your life. Has nothing to do with that. It's an inward settled state of mind that is produced only by faith in God. That is where this Christian joy comes from. And there's moral joy, like when you make good decisions and good choices, look, that will bring some joy into your life. But Christian joy, the joy that Jesus gives, that only is coming through faith in God. So if you're wondering, do I have Christian joy? Well, we are going to be reading from Luke chapter 2 today. And what I love about the Gospel of Luke, Luke 2 is probably going to be like one of the most read chapters all across the world. So let's just join in with all the other churches across the world. They're either going to be covering Luke, they're going to cover something from the Gospels. So we're going to join in. And a major theme in Luke is actually joy. That is a theme that runs through the book of Luke is joy. So it makes sense that we're here. And if you're wondering, well, do I have the joy that Luke is writing about? The good news of great joy that the angel Gabriel declared to the shepherds, do I have that joy? I want to help us figure that out today. Because what I love about this good news of great joy that we're going to read about in Luke 2 is it is not produced, or it does not come through good circumstances, good fortune, you know, good health, everything going great in your marriage. No, it doesn't come through any of that. What's incredible about this good news of great joy, this joy of salvation, is it can exist in the worst of circumstances. It can exist when everything is going wrong in your life. It can exist when your marriage feels like it's crumbling. It can exist when you're given a horrible health diagnosis. It can exist when you lose your job and you're making no money. That Christian joy that Luke is writing about can exist in those moments because it is entirely anchored in the one who brings joy, and his name is Jesus. I was just reading this morning in Hebrews where Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just noted that in my prayer journal, because when you hop over into 2 Timothy, I was reading how we're called to flee youthful desires. And I just made a little note and I prayed to God. I said, God, thank you that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That when Paul was writing to Timothy and he said, flee youthful desires, that is not natural, that's hard. Thank you that you're the same God that gives me the strength to do that today. That's what we're talking about this morning. This Jesus who brings joy, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to give us our big idea for today. And it's this: when you receive the joy of salvation, you must respond, proclaim, and worship. You must respond, proclaim, and worship. Read with me in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 8. We read this. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." I want to look at a few responses or a few things that we see the shepherds do whenever they receive this good news of great joy. And the first thing that we see the shepherds do is we see them respond to the good news of great joy. Now, this announcement came to shepherds. Obviously, we just read that. Now, and when you hear shepherds, you probably think, if you haven't done any historical digging on Luke 2 and shepherds, you probably think kind of positive. You know, we know Jesus was the good shepherd or is the good shepherd. First Peter, he's the chief shepherd. So when we hear shepherds, we think, oh, they're sweet people. You know, they're taking care of sheep. And who doesn't love sheep? Like, if you're looking for some sheep interaction, go to the Gulf Breeze Zoo. You can get hooked up and pet a sheep. But anyway, I think shepherds, you know, usually will think all these positive things. That wasn't the case when this actually happened. Do you know anybody in your life where you're like, they're just mean? Do you know, hey, raise your hand if you know anyone who's just mean. Guys, I know several people, I'm like, they're just mean, you know, like, ugh, you know, they're just mean. Shepherds had that reputation. They were just known for being mean. Now, not always deserved, but they were just known for being mean. They were despised, they were kind of social outcasts. In fact, we just read that they were staying out in the fields at night. This subjected them to scorn and ridicule, even suspicion. People didn't trust shepherds. This is a fact. They were disqualified from being witnesses in the court of law because you couldn't trust shepherds. So nobody's trusting shepherds. Like, if you had a shepherd friend at that time, as like, as not the person to trust. And as I noted, they were despised. In some ways, this was for good reason. When they would be staying out watching their sheep at night and people would come through, they would steal things. Like, so you think shepherds are so sweet? No, they would steal stuff from you. So if you're walking by and you've got, I don't know, whatever is precious to you, they're robbing you, okay? They're taking things from you. So shepherds didn't always have this great reputation that we think of when we hear shepherds. Not all of them, but in this day and this time, no. You didn't really trust shepherds. And it's amazing to me that this is who God chose to let know a Messiah has been born. It's amazing. Because, like, if I'm God, I'm choosing, you know, the rabbis, the experts in the law, maybe a pastor, a good person in the community. I'm choosing, like, someone great. You know, I'm choosing someone who, you know, is trusted. That's not how God works. God chose shepherds. And I would imagine that there's somebody at least that came in the room today where you're like, man, I keep messing up. I keep making mistakes. I'm blowing it in my marriage. I keep getting angry with my kids. If people knew the way that I think and like the things that go through my heart, I'm just a disgusting person. I'm horrible. I'm awful. I'm an outcast. Like, I come into a church building, and by the way, this is just a building. The church is the people of God, but I step into a church gathering like this and I just feel awful. I'm horrible. I'm a horrible person. If people really knew who I was inside, they would not want to be around me. They would be viewing me as the shepherds. I have really good news for you. Jesus came for you and people like you, because that's every single one of us without a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether you think you are somebody and that's not you, or maybe you are at the very bottom, you feel like you're at the bottom of the totem pole, we are all on the same level. We're all outcasts, we're sinners in desperate need of a Savior. Yes. And His name is Jesus. And He came for you. So why did God choose to reveal this amazing message to the shepherds? I think it was just to remind us, I'm coming for you and I'm running after you. Now, what we see take place is this angel, who we presumably believe was Gabriel, announces this good news of great joy to the shepherds. A child has been born to you, Savior of the world, Messiah, the Lord. He's amazing. And before this happened, we read that the angel's glory kind of shone. It was like the idea is this bright and radiant light just illuminating this dark, dark night. Understandably so. If you're a shepherd, you're freaking out. You're terrified. But the angel's like, no, no, no. You don't need to be terrified. I bring you good news of great joy. And that's what he's like. A Messiah's been born. There's a joy of salvation that's on the horizon, and it can be yours. It was good news of great joy. And then after that, it gets even better because this heavenly host joins the angels. That the picture you can kind of imagine in your mind is an angel army. Like, I don't even know how many angels have shown up now. It was just Gabriel, but now an angel army joins Gabriel, and they just start singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to whom His favor rests. So this is a pretty remarkable and amazing moment. And then angels are gone. So I kind of picture it. It's real bright and like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. What is happening? And then angels gone. And think of what the shepherds are thinking now. Like, they're like, what just happened? Like, is this true? Is this good news of great joy true? And that's when we see a response. They respond to the joy of salvation they have just heard about by saying, we've got to get to Bethlehem. We need to see this Jesus with our own eyes. We need to see, did this really happen? Because this was the long-awaited Messiah. When you read Old Testament prophecy, this moment was supposed to happen, but they had waited hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for this moment. And now the shepherds of all people have been told, oh, it's happened. Jesus has been born. And they're like, we gotta go. So their response when receiving is they run to Jesus. And that's where you have to ask the question to yourself today. How are you going to respond to this message, this good news of great joy? Because we hear it and it sounds good and we're like, yeah, this is amazing. That's why I like Christmas. It's fun. But are you going to run to Jesus or are you just going to keep sitting back and waiting? I just came here to let you know today, Jesus is waiting for you and He'll meet you right where you are. Run to Him. Next thing we see play out takes place starting in verse 16. We read this. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Next thing we see the shepherds do is they proclaim the joy of salvation. So the shepherds, they respond, they run to Bethlehem, they barge into this moment, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus there in the moment. Now, their shepherd reputation is still intact. So imagine what Mary and Joseph are thinking. There's this little baby. I mean, those of you who are parents in the house, you know what it's like to be in the hospital room and, you know, everyone's visiting. You know, that's what happens. You have a baby and it's like everyone's visiting. They're texting, can we visit? You know, and I shout out to all of you who visit. I love it. I love it. Okay. But imagine you're Mary and Joseph, you're holding baby Jesus, and then boom, these shepherds, these mean ones, these despised, these rejected people, these who are disqualified from being legal witnesses in the court of law. They barge in and they're like, where's Jesus? You can imagine like, whoa. Whoa, what's going on? But the shepherds, they proclaim the good news. They proclaim this joy of salvation. And when you read this in Luke, what we just read, the idea is we get is everyone they were interacting with. everyone they could tell. They probably said things about the angelic experience they experienced in the fields, telling everybody about Jesus. He's been born, the Messiah. He's here. He's here. The one who's going to rescue us, who's going to redeem us. He's on the planet. He's been born. And they tell everyone. They proclaim this good, amazing news, this joy of salvation. And that's a miracle too. Think about that, that God chose shepherds with this horrible reputation to be the first witnesses of Jesus, to share the gospel. God chose shepherds. It's like, man, who gives them this qualification to declare this good news of great joy? Is there, again, horrible people, outcast, despised? No one. Who gives them this kind of qualification? God, because it's God who does the calling. And God does not call us to be one of his based off anything we have to offer to God. God does the calling and empowering, and it has nothing to do with your ability or my ability. It doesn't matter if you're the person of the year. Shout out Taylor Swift, which apparently if you make $1 billion and have sell out shows, you can be the person. It doesn't matter. Our abilities, our giftings, that is not what it has to do with why God calls you. He calls you because he loves you. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will receive this joy of salvation, and they will receive the empowerment to proclaim this good news of great joy. So to the believers in the house, have you been proclaiming this good news of great joy that we've been celebrating all month? Have you been letting people know that there really is a Jesus, the Son of God, Savior of the world, who wants to save them, who wants to make them a child of God, who wants to be in their life? Have you been proclaiming this good news of great joy? And we see this last part play out in verses 19 and 20. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Lastly, we see the shepherds worship the one who gives the joy of salvation. You see, when you experience the joy of salvation, like we've been today kind of experiencing this moment together, when you experience the joy of salvation, it leads to worship. It leads to worship. That's where the shepherds were. They're heading back off to their flock, and they can't help but sing the praises of God. They can't help but worship. This is what happens. And you can worship on the mountaintop, and you can worship in the valley. Because remember, this joy of salvation is a settled state of mind produced by faith in God, not by your circumstances. So the call is to worship. To worship literally with our voice and sing praises to God. Although I told my wife, when we're singing these Christmas carols, I'm like, this is just kind of weird. I feel like the formal thing to do is just kind of stand like this and sing and smile. But we, any other week, we're singing our hearts out to God, praising him. That's what we're doing today, praising him. But we also worship him with how we live. And we're empowered to do that because of the mighty God that we serve, because Jesus is really in the business of taking socially outcasts, sinners, horrible people, dead people, and making them alive together with him through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he wants to do that in your life today. I wanted to read the full story here. And my hope is that we can just try to visualize what this moment was like. So now that we've got the base there, we've laid the base, this is what happened. There was true joy. I was hoping that as we read this together, you would just kind of try to picture what this moment had to have been like. So I'm going to back up to Luke 2, starting in verse 1. Read with me. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be engaged, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock.
Shall call his name Emmanuel.
Thank you.
That's the story of hope. And that's the story of Jesus. And the good news about this moment is Jesus lived for another 33 years. And he died on the cross for you. And rose again, conquering sin and grave on the third day. And he ascended into heaven. And now he's extending life to people. And he wants to extend life to you. And the way for you to go from death to life and receive this joy of salvation is just telling Jesus you want him in your life. It's just declaring that. You need him. No special prayer to be prayed. It's just believing and saying, Jesus, I need you. Would you save me? And he will. So I'm going to pray with us, and I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. God, we come before you this morning just so humbled at the miracle of Jesus. And we recognize that there's people in this room that have never given their lives to you. So if that's you in the room right now, I just want you to repeat after me quietly. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm in need of a Savior. And right now, I am repenting of my sins and asking you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day, conquering sin and grave. And I am asking Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life. Would you save me? Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, if you did that, I just want to say welcome to the family of God. And you don't have to come up here, because that's not how salvation works. If you gave your life to Jesus right now in this moment, you're saved and you're one of his, and your salvation is eternally secure forever. And that's a miracle. But we would love to walk with you a little bit more and teach you what it means to follow Jesus. So if you want to learn a little bit more, I just want to encourage you to come and talk to me afterwards, or shoot me an email, or our church an email, or come back next week, and we would love to walk with you a little bit more and teach you the things of God. But I just want to say welcome to the family of God. And because of the decision that you made today, one day we're all going to be worshiping with God, worshiping with one another in heaven, worshiping God in a new heaven and new earth. And Lord knows that we long for that day. We are going to enter into a time of this candlelight, and there's candles in front of you. And my wife is going to come up here and actually light my candle, and the worship team is going to go ahead and come up here. And we'll start things off. And Piper, my daughter Piper, is going to come up here.